Welcome to Talking New Energy, a podcast from Delta EE, the new energy experts. We'll be talking about how the energy transition is developing across Europe, with guests who are working at the leading edge of this transition. In this episode, we're looking at new ways to sell heating systems. Will the online tidal wave come to heating systems in the same way it has come to virtually every other product category? Buying a new heating appliance today typically involves finding an installer, maybe taking time off work for them to come round, getting a quote that I've no idea whether it's competitive or not, and then dealing with a local installer. Why not just buy online? With the internet giving customers more and more power and information, is this trend coming to that very traditional sector, the heating industry? Today, I'm joined by two guests, one from one of the leading companies in this space from Germany, together with our in-house expert here at Delta EE. So my guests, Philipp Pausner, founder and CEO of Thermondo in Germany, and my colleague here at Delta, Roxanne Petersley. So Rox, let's start with you. Hello and welcome to the podcast.
Hi John, thanks for having me.
Rox, you've been delving into this topic recently. Now, it sounds simple in one way, buying a boiler or a heating system online, but there are different ways that online can help a customer in the whole process of buying and installing a heating system. Can you tell us a bit about those different ways, or break that down a bit for us?
Sure. So for a customer needing a new heating appliance, normally the first step, as you said, is finding an installer and then having them around to your property to determine what's wrong with the system and what it should be replaced with. And depending how urgent the situation is, it might be a few days before the installer can come around and do the survey. And then if the customer accepts the quote that the installer provides for replacing the appliance, it might be another few days or even weeks until they can come back with all the necessary equipment and tools to do the actual installation. So platforms like Thermondo look to speed up and simplify this process for customers by doing the site survey remotely, either by asking the customer a few simple questions online or over the phone, or having them upload some photos of their heating system, or by doing a video call. So the first benefit here is that customers don't have to wait very long at all in order to get a quotation, and they don't need to be at home waiting for an installer to come around and do it.
Okay, so if I've got a problem, I just go online and I can put in some information, some photos, maybe even a video about my heating system and get a response.
Yeah, absolutely. And because it's so easy to do this, customers will often get several quotes rather than just one, which they would possibly do when they have to have an installer around and it's more of a hassle. Mm-hmm. And then also once customers have accepted the quote, then these platforms usually allow them to book a time online to have the installer around to do the replacement. Mm-hmm. And that's often a quite short notice, so some offer next day installation. And then once the job is done, the customer can also pay online rather than having to pay the installer.
Okay.
And then a lot of the platforms also offer finance, which your average sole trader installer might not do, which can also be very valuable for customers. And then you also see reviews on these sites that other customers can have a look at and know that they're going to get a quality installation based on what other customers have said.
Okay, so that's one end of the spectrum. That's, I guess, the complete value chain or the complete supply chain done online. But there are a couple of other variants as well. If you could give us a quick feel for how else online can help customers in this journey.
So there's a sort of spectrum, I would say. At the one end, you've got your independent installers who the customers would contact directly if they need a replacement. And that will be, you know, you'll call them up or you'll find their number on their website. But the entire relationship there is between the customer and the installer. Mm-hmm. One step beyond that is your like online directories and lead generation sites. Yep. Where a customer can go online, put in their postcode and get the contact details of installers nearby. But beyond that, the platform doesn't do anything to handle the relationship between the customer and the installer. Then there are home services sites where, as a customer, you can say, I need somebody who can install boilers. They might then allow you to book a time that that person comes around and does a site survey, but the payment components of it might then still be handled by the installer. And then at the far end of the spectrum is your full end-to-end sites where all the customer facing is done by the platform, and the only thing the installer does is the actual installation.
Okay, great. Thanks for setting that out for us. Let's turn to my second guest. So hello, Philip. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me.
You're speaking to us from Berlin at the moment, is that right?
That's correct.
Yep. So can you tell us a bit about Thermondo then? So if I'm a homeowner in Hanover needing a new heating appliance, what can Thermondo do for me? What does your company offer?
Well, we offer an end-to-end solution, and that of course starts with the consultative a meeting, whether that's on the phone actually, like Rox described, or in our case, very often also in the home, at the home of people's home. We did start off as a pure telesales-based company, and also, you know, making our offers available on the internet. Mm-hmm. And a couple of years ago, we actually did change to a predominantly outside sales-driven company. So we actually do go to people's premises to really then do, obviously, also the technical planning of the system. So that's the first step, obviously. That can come in at different choices, different kind of solutions, different alternatives. Obviously, what the customer then chooses us, then we do perform the installation always with our own installers. So at the moment, Thermondo is 100% vertically integrated, so they're all on our payroll. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately, we do want the relationship forever, right? And that is embedded very often in having, in like 85-90% of the cases, a contract, a long-term contract. So we're very successful with our leasing product. So heat or hardware as a lease, that is typically coming at 10-year contracts. Mm-hmm. Or alternatively, people choose a maintenance plan. If you have three different levels. So we basically have really long-term relationships to our customers. We expect like no shorter than 10 years with like kind of 90% of our customers at the moment.
Okay. So thanks for that pen portrait of Thermondo, Philip. I'd like to pick out three things that you talked about there and discuss them a bit with you and Rox. Firstly, the entry point from you mentioned you started off purely telesales and online, but now you've evolved that. So that's one point, is how do customers want to buy, purely online or face-to-face? Secondly, the comment you made about installers, that you employ all of your own installers. And I think we see some different models across Europe of from contracting with installers to employing installers. And then thirdly, the point you made about service and I guess the enduring relationship with customers. Again, we see different models from a transaction with a customer selling an appliance through to that ongoing relationship. So let's pick the first one online. Rox, can I ask you about some of the research you've been doing? And do you see companies sticking to that purely online model at the moment? Or are people moving in the direction Philip talked about in this sort of hybrid model of online, telesales, or in person?
So from what I've seen in the UK, is that usually these companies want to do as much of the process online as possible. And they're doing this quite successfully because the photos being uploaded by customers and the video calls being done, these are analyzed by heating engineers who know what they would be looking for if they were to do a site visit in person. And so usually, it's only in exceptional cases where they can see that there's something maybe different about the system where they would suggest that they need to go and do a site visit in person. Mm-hmm. But there are also platforms that don't do any sort of online components. They basically just immediately say, we're going to arrange to have an engineer around what time suits you.
Okay, so some companies do purely online. Philip, can you tell us a bit about the journey you've been on from starting, as you said, more telesales and online, and then moving to a more hybrid system, and why you've done that?
So we started off with the, let's say, simple idea of saying, this is a very large market. It's very fragmented. It is mission critical for the energy transition because in regards to CO2 emission reduction potential, it's just massive. Mm-hmm. And it is driven by really poor customer experiences. So things and let's say elements of customer journeys we're used to in other areas of life, like being able to choose between brands, transparency in pricing, fixed prices, all services included, all the things were missing when we started. Mm-hmm. And that led then to the fact to really look at every simple step of the journey, how that could be simplified and obviously be supported or driven by technology / software. And until today, we don't really need the home visit. So we're perfectly fine selling based on photos and on the phone, and very, very much in the way that Rox described it. Mm-hmm. It's a trust question. And I think their markets just differ. If you look at the average ticket in countries like the UK, the Netherlands, or Spain, it's probably at like 2,000 to 3,000 euros.
Yeah.
And as a proxy of the complexity of the job to be performed, it's just so much lower than in Germany, for instance, where people just tend to spend much more money on the heating system and also just go for much more complex systems. Mm-hmm. So the decision, I guess, thus is a much larger one. People are willing, obviously, to invest a bit more time into the decision. And our average ticket, to give a comparison, is 10,000 euros at the moment. So it's probably, from a complexity point of view, might be three times as complex as what you have as an average job in some other countries.
Yeah, and I can see from the customer's perspective, 10,000 euros is a lot to spend online without having met someone or without that trust. So whereas in the UK, and the Netherlands, for example, we see a lot more of a straight swap of a wall-mounted combi boiler, very straightforward job, and as you say, much lower cost. So,
correct.
Okay, let's move to the second question about installers and the different models. Rox, let's start with you again, and from the research that you've been doing, to what degree do companies with more of an online presence, to what degree are they using their own installers, or to what degree are they contracting installers?
So it really depends on the company and the country. There's one example I can think of in the UK where they employ their installers directly, and I think it's similar in France with some of the energy suppliers there. But a lot of the new entrants in this space, at least in the UK, they work by subcontracting their installers. They won't have installers employed full time. They'll only use them when they have jobs coming in from customers. And I'd say that's probably the more common route for the newer players.
So that's a real Uber type model then, connecting to connect installers to jobs. And what do installers think of that? Do we have installers that are purely working for these types of companies in an Uber model, or are they mixing and matching their own sales and then working for these platform companies?
So we did some research with installers recently and asked whether or not they're subcontracting and how much work they are getting this way. Mm-hmm. And it was really interesting because we found that I think it was about 50% of installers said that they're only getting a quarter of their work through these subcontracting channels. But a lot of them think that will increase. So what happens, I think, is that installers usually sign up to these platforms, get one or two jobs this way, and then they sort of realize that it's quite easy. They don't have the hassle of doing all the quotations and payments, and then they start to take on more and more once they're sort of more comfortable with it.
Yeah. Okay. So a move towards more of an Uber type model from what you've seen. Philip, you've gone down a different route. Can you tell us about your experiences of how you started and where you're at now and why you've gone that way?
Yeah, So in the very beginning, we also went for that kind of model where we actually wanted to be even less than an Uber. We wanted to be just a broker. Then we went to an Uber model if you wanted. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately, like in six to nine months after the launch, we went for the full integration. And that was definitely the right model for the first 3 years. I mean, keep in mind, we were one of the fast growing companies in Europe, actually, as per Financial Times, mm-hmm. During those years, 13 to 16. So it was no limit to our growth, interestingly, although, you know, the capital market actually told us, and a lot of skeptics were out there saying that this will limit your growth. And I think whether that is the right way to do or not also very much depends on the labor market. Yeah. Obviously, if we had launched in a country like Spain, you know, in those years with an unemployment rate of beyond 20%, that's a much more relaxed labor market. Now in Germany, there's literally no unemployment, certainly not for skilled labor. Mm-hmm. So just from that perspective, it did make sense to do what we did. It also made sense because we had direct access to obviously we could train our people, we could invest into our people, we could create something like a Temono way of installation. Yep. And obviously train our processes. And I guess with a more complex actual technical job, that is more important than with a less complex one, because you can literally make more mistakes.
Yeah, that's something I wanted to ask you.
And now maybe just to... Hmm.
Sorry, carry on, Philip. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, and I guess now we do feel that it does limit our growth. We could be growing much faster if we had more, obviously, flexible resources. So we are still very much 100% integrated. I do think that we will be heading towards something like, let's say, 60-40. Mm. So we will definitely add flexible resources. But in the end, it comes down to two things, cost and quality. And those companies I talk to that do work with partners, what they pay them on a bit on a per diem level, so let's say the mandate, the cost of a mandate, and also the quality they're receiving, you need to be comparing that to your in-house costs. Mm-hmm. And at least with what I see here in Germany, both cost and quality that we have is beating that of those partner models, but it does cost you growth, right? So there's a trade-off. And obviously, as a growth company, which is venture capital finance, growth is an important currency.
So, I think there's an interesting angle around the complexity of the installation. So, when we look at these platforms in many markets, all they're selling is a boiler. Whereas the more complex a job, if you're starting to sell heat pumps or other technologies, then that skill issue probably becomes more important to have in-house. Are you finding that, how far are you moving beyond selling straightforward boilers? And are you finding those skills requirements are more challenging?
Mm. Again, it always comes down to complexity. So at the moment, we're selling six or seven brands, right? So you need to keep your training up on six or seven brands that cost time and money. Mm. But let's say the complexity of the average construction, the complexity of our construction is just very different. And I think that's very different to other markets. Combi boilers make up only 10% in Germany. Last Friday, I was visiting a construction in north of Munich, which was... had a value of 35,000 euros.
Wow.
So included solar thermal, included a freshwater station. So that customer literally went for everything that was available.
Yeah.
And then in that same day in the morning in Munich downtown, I was in a small, let's say, row house, and that was literally gas to gas. You know, it wasn't a combi boiler, but it could have been a combi boiler. So I'd say, as so often, Germany is probably a bit more heat heterogeneous. We do still have, for instance, a 44% oil share in Bavaria.
Yeah.
In the UK, you hardly have any oil, rightfully so. You have condensing boilers, you almost have 100% share. In Germany, we only have 35% condensing boilers so far. So the markets just differ very greatly. Mm. Germany is quite advanced in regards to fuel cells. We did install fuel cells in the past. We left that segment. Now we're entering this segment again because it reached a size that it matters. Mm. And that's, of course, again, a construction with a rather high complexity.
Yeah. Okay. So I think really interesting points there around the differences between a relatively simple boiler for boiler swap or more complex installations. The third point I'd like to talk about is services. Philip, you mentioned at the beginning you often have an enduring relationship with a customer. So I think I see two different approaches between transaction type approaches and service type approaches. Rox, let's start with you again in terms of the UK. What do you see in that balance between companies moving in this online approach between transactions and services, and who's focused more on which model?
So it's quite a mix, and it depends on the background of the company. So there are a handful of companies that started off offering maintenance and insurance first, and then brought in the boiler installation platform. Mm-hmm. So for them, they've always been offering both. And then there are the platforms that started firstly with just boiler installation, so a one-off interaction, who are now looking to add maintenance servicing into their package so that they can have an enduring relationship with the customer rather than a one-off. So it's quite a mix.
Okay. And they're quite different business models. Philip, I'm interested in your views from the transaction-based business model, which I guess is a margin business, margin and volume business, and then the service-based business model where you've got a 10-year relationship with the customer. How have you moved from one to the other, and how do you see those two different business models?
Well, first of all, from day one on, we always felt that we wanted to be the caretaker and the partner of homeowners in the energy transition. Keep in mind, there was very little change in people's homes until recently. If you took an x-ray of a home, let's say today even, and you will take an x-ray of a home in 10 years, you will just see so much more technology being deployed and installed in people's homes, yep. Whether that is obviously PV, battery, or home charging. We consciously went for the largest existing category, which is heat, to really enter into that relationship. But we always looked at it as an anchor of that relationship that we sought. The first years we were clearly a transaction-based company, very strong, very transaction-minded in regards of number of leads, number of orders, measuring conversion rates very clearly, and really building up that engine if you want. Mm-hmm. But as of summer 2016, we moved more and more into a subscription-based company. Like I said in the very beginning, 85 to 90% of our companies have a multi-year contract with us. Mm-hmm. Out of those, kind of 30 percentage points go for 10-year leasings. So that's our clear strategy, to be that partner, and that will also then of course involve to add more and more products and revenue streams onto that partnership. And that is also then linked to us wanting to give you an end-to-end branded experience. You might know that we launched our first Tamondo boiler 2.5 weeks ago, the T1.
Yeah.
And so now if you go for a T1, everything and anything you see is Tamondo branded. Right, so the salesperson walking into your home, Tamondo branded. The installation team, Tamondo branded. The product in your basement, Tamondo branded. Your contracts, Tamondo branded. And obviously, then every year, annually, we show up at your doorstep to perform the maintenance, and we want to be that trusted partner.
Hmm. Okay, so I guess there are different models here. There's probably not a right or a wrong. There are pros and cons of different models, and companies like yourself will maybe start with one model and evolve to a different model. Coming towards the end of the podcast now, I'd like to my last question will be about customers and customer attitudes. Do customers want this new type of experience, or are they happy finding a local installer and dealing with a local installer? Rox, can you tell us a bit about what we've been gleaning here at Delta from our research with customers?
Sure. So from our research that we've done, I'd say that there are maybe three different groups that customers fall into, at least in the UK. The first is the customers who know a local installer who they've been going to for years, and they'll call that installer up if they have a problem and get it sorted before even considering looking online for alternatives. And the last research we did with UK homeowners in 2017 showed that about 50% of people fell into this category, which I thought was a pretty high percentage, but that's among UK homeowners. The second group, I'd say, are the more, or the sort of opposite end of the spectrum. So they're more convenience and price driven. They're comfortable buying online, and they'll arrange a heating appliance replacement through your website without any hesitation. The simplicity of doing this actually appeals to customers of all ages, not just younger customers. And it's also proving popular amongst landlords because of how convenient it is for them. And then the third group, I'd say, are those who might use websites like this to get quotes for comparison, but they have their reservations about following through because they feel that they need to have an installer around to the property to assess the situation and also to meet the installer to decide if this is someone they feel they can trust to have in their home and who will do a good job at a fair price.
Okay. And Philip, I guess it's those last two segments that are the opportunity for Thermondo. So can I ask you a last question about your view on those customer segments Rox outlined and looking into the talking new energy crystal ball, how you see growth for your company over the next years and your biggest challenge to achieving that growth?
Yeah, so first on the customers, quick quotes became a commodity. So when we launched in 2013, that was new and it was special, and kind of the industry reacted to it. So also the manufacturers created their software to help the local installer to be faster and more precise on the quotes. Mm-hmm. So I do not think you can really differentiate yourself on being fast on them. I mean, to some degree still, but it becomes more and more commodity. Yeah. So it is all about either you have the best experience and the best, which includes the best quality, you know, the most reliable partner, connectivity comes in here, remote maintenance comes in here. And then of course there will always be price driven people. Yeah. That just if you want a quote from you very quickly to like Rox said, you know, to use that to probably put some pressure onto the local guy. And of course our segment, if you want the digital or the online driven segment, is still tiny compared to the entire market,
but it's going to grow.
And at the same time it's going to grow, and at the same time we became the largest company across all marketing segments in Germany. So of course you can grow much faster in the segment than in the conventional segment.
And then looking forward
to regards of the crystal ball.
Yeah, your growth challenges.
Exactly. So growth challenge, it's about managing complexity. If you go all in like we do, you are at risk to add continuously add complexity to your organization, to your model. And you have to be willing to cut it down also and to reduce complexity. I mean, like you said, I guess at one point, we are building a nationwide organization. We're building a fully vertically integrated company, and that is very complex. We need to be good at so many things. So removing complexity is key for us.
Yeah. Okay. So I think we can confidently say that this sector will grow, or this new model for buying heating appliances, whether it's a purely online model, a hybrid model, or one of the varieties Rox talked about, will grow in the future, and it will grow in different ways in different markets. Personally, I think that for many customers, the experience will drive the growth in this market. So if I need a new heating system and I can simplify the process of buying a new heating system, go online, get someone to come around very soon, book a slot online, upload pictures and videos, then I think that drives a much better customer experience in many customers' eyes. So, Philip, thanks very much for sharing your thoughts and telling us about the journey you've been on, and good luck for the next years as you grow your business. Rox, thanks for sharing your views on the research we've been doing. Thank you to our listeners for joining, and look forward to talking with you in the next week's podcast. Goodbye.